السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله هيا على الصلاة هيا على الصلاة هيا على الفلاح هيا على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الحمد لله رب العالمين وبه نستعين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد عليه أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي إخوتي وأخواتي في الله الصحة ومراعاتها لها مقام خاص في الإسلام فإن أجسادنا أمانة من رب العالمين فعلينا ألا نهلك أنفسنا ولا نضيع صحتنا بالأفعال الشنيعة والأكلات الخبيثة نراعي أنفسنا بالأكلات الطيبة والأعمال الجسدية كالرياضة فإن هذا من حق الإسلام علينا. Respected brothers, elders, mothers and sisters, all praises are for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And salutations be for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his companions, his family members, his progeny, and every believer to come till the Day of Judgment. Brothers and sisters, Islam has a great right upon us, just as it's emphasized the many rights upon us, such as respecting our parents, being good to one another, making sure the environment is intact by not littering, etc. But there is oftentimes one haqq, one right of Islam upon us, which you and I at times we forget. And this is the right of Islam upon us of maintaining our health. Our bodies are in amanah. They are a trust from Rabbul Alameen, from the Lord of the universe. Meaning, just as we have to take care of our parents in the best of forms, just as we have to take care of the environment, just as we have to ensure that our ibadat, our worship is intact. In the similar manner, we have to ensure that our bodily health is also intact and we maintain it in the best of manners. And to start with, this should be done by maintaining our diet in the best of forms. And coupled with that, engaging in some sort of a physical activity which keeps our health restored, which keeps our health fresh. Because at the end of the day, this is an aspect which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will question us about on the Day of Judgment. Allah says in the Quran, وَلَا تُلْقُوا بِأَيْدِيكُمْ إِلَى التَّهْلُكَةِ Do not destroy yourselves. This is, like I mentioned last week, a general verse. May it be by unhealthy foods, may it be by laziness, may it be by forgetting the huquq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon you, may it be by harming one another, and also may it be by not maintaining our physical health. How do we imagine Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Do we imagine him as an elderly man holding a cane, walking to the masjid? Do we imagine Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as an individual who only gave discourse after Salatul Isha? Do we imagine Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as somebody who came to the masjid for salah and then went home and sat there, na'udhu billah wal'iyadhu billah min hadha al-kalam, like a couch potato? No. If we understood the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in that manner, then we got our seerah wrong. We didn't understand our seerah. We didn't understand the seerah, the biography of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Before I mention certain activities that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would regularly engage in, let me tell you about the previous prophets of Allah and how Allah made them role models in terms of worship and in terms of maintaining their health. Take for example Nuh alayhi salatu wa salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered him, as he says in the 12th juz of the Holy Quran, وَصْنَعِ الْفُلْكَ بِأَعْيُنِنَا وَوَحْيِنَا وَلَا تُخَاطِبْنِي فِي الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا إِنَّهُمْ مُغْرَقُونَ. O Nuh, build an ark. Oh, build an ark. Now you imagine Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam to be a frail man. You look at some of the remains of the ark of Nuh, how massive they are. This ark contained a pair of each animal. The ummah that believed in him at that time. And every creature that you can imagine, from the jinn and the ins, from the jinn kind and the mankind. The ark of Nuh needed to accommodate all these creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you can only imagine the strength that Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam had in order to build that ark. He couldn't have done it if he was a weak man, or if he couldn't, you know, run a mile, or if he couldn't, you know, if he was lazy to take a morning jog. This tells you that Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam was fit to execute this task that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had ordered him to do. And he did it. And because of that, we're here today. We all come from the lineage of Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. He is our second father. Take for example, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. People only mention how he slapped the angel of death, and one of the eyes of the angel of death came out. But we don't realize the trials that Musa alayhi salatu wasalam went through in his early stages. The man comes to him from the wazirs of Fir'aun, from the noblemen of Fir'aun. And he tells him, O Musa, because of, you know, the dispute that occurred in between you and an Egyptian army man, Fir'aun has plotted to kill you. So what did he say? He said, leave Egypt. Inni laka minan nasihin. Allah says in the Quran, the person said to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam that I am a well-wisher for you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions an account of that whole situation. He says, فَخَرَجَ مِنْهَا خَائِفًا يَتَرَقَّبْ قَالَ رَبِّ نَجِّنِي مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he left the beloved land of Egypt to him, and he went straight to Midian. Look at the geographical location of Midian. You can say Musa alayhi salatu wasalam ran a one-way marathon to Midian. And he said, O Allah, protect me min al-qawm al-zalimin, from such a nation who are oppressors. He ran a marathon. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam had the strength to run a marathon. And after he ended up by a tree in the vicinity of Midian, you look at the exegesis of the Holy Quran, his face is pale, his mouth is green because of eating leaves and crops, the crops that he would find on the way, and the leaves of trees. And at that moment, he looks into the sky and he makes a dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I tell all of us to make this dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whenever we're in a time of need. He looks up and he says, Rabbi inni lima anzalta ilayya min khayrin faqir. You have trouble finding a good spouse? Make this dua. Your family is rude to you? Make this dua. You don't have a sufficient amount of wealth to sustain yourself and your family with? Make this dua. What is the dua? Rabbi inni lima anzalta ilayya min khayrin faqir. Look at the wordings that Musa alayhi salatu wasalam used. If you beseech Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through these words, Allah will give you the best of both this world and in the hereafter. He said, O my Lord, whatever good that you descend upon me, I am faqir of that. I am in need of that. And then inshallah we'll go on, bi'ithnillah, some other day, regarding how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed Musa alayhi salatu wasalam with his bounties because of this one dua. This was the strength of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. In fact, when the two daughters of Shu'aib alayhi salatu wasalam would come to fetch water for their animals, after the nation would have quenched the thirst of their animals, they would be alone. What would they do? The qawm would take a big boulder together and would cover the mouth of that well. Now these two shy girls, they would come and look at the well. How do we have the strength to take off this boulder and quench the thirst of our animals? So Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was so strong. He was given that strength and he worked for that strength to the extent where that boulder, which took a nation to lift, he lifted that boulder on his own and he quenched the thirst of these animals which were with the daughters of Shu'aib alayhi salatu wasalam. This was the strength of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Now we look at a king of a past, one of the kings of Banu Israel, who was a pious man by the name of Talut. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed this individual to be a king upon his people. And right when he became a king upon his people, people started questioning the integrity of Talut. Allah makes an account of this incident in the Quran. وَقَالَ لَهُمْ نَبِيُّهُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ بَعَثَ لَكُمْ طَالُوتَ مَلِكًا قَالُوا أَنَّا يَكُونُ لَهُ الْمُلْكُ عَلَيْنَا وَنَحْنُ أَحَقُّ بِالْمُلْكِ مِنْهُ وَلَمْ يُؤْتَ سَعَةً مِنَ الْمَالِ. Subhanallah. Their prophet told them that Talut is now your king. What did they say? How can he be a king? He doesn't have sufficient wealth. Their prophet told them, إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَاهُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَزَادَهُ بَسْطَةً فِي الْعِلْمِ وَالْجِسْمِ. Allah has chosen Talut to be a king over you because of the knowledge he has and because of the physical strength he has. This tells us that when it comes to knowledge and when it comes to good actions, when it comes to piety and when it comes to strength, even wealth becomes insignificant. Endeavor for this knowledge of the deen. Empower yourselves with knowledge in a time where at times Islam is attacked and you don't know the replies to give based on the allegations that the bigots execute towards you. Empower yourselves first and foremost with knowledge. And from this incident of Talut, we learn that we need to not only empower ourselves with knowledge, but we need to take care of our physical health as well. You look at Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls him Masih in the Quran. Masih comes from the root letters Mim, Sin, and Ha, which literally means to wipe. The scholars of the exegesis of the Holy Quran mention one of the reasons why Isa alayhi salatu wasalam was called Masih was not because he was going to come as a Messiah again. Yes, that's intact, that's there. But because he used to wipe the earth with his feet, meaning he used to love walking. Every other narration you read about Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, it begins by saying, once Isa was walking and this happened. Once Isa was walking and this happened. This incident took place, that took place. So this tells you Isa alayhi salatu wasalam used to walk a lot. So at the end of the day, if you can't lift up those heavy weights, then at least take a morning walk. Maintain your health. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he says in a hadith narrated by Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is reported to have said, "Al-mu'minu al-qawiyyu khayrun wa ahabba ila Allah aw wa ahabbu ila Allah min al-mu'min al-da'if wa fi kullin khayr." That a strong believer is more better, not only more better, but more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than a weak believer. Now this doesn't only talk about strength at a spiritual level. The scholars mention this is in reference to physical strength. So a believer who is physically intact, their physiques are intact, their health is genuine, their health is good, this person is better than possibly that individual who stands up the entire night in tahajjud, fast all day, but does not take care of their physical health. We learn from the practices of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam that he would be an individual, he would be somebody who would oftentimes engage himself, may it be through his family members or may it be through the community, in maintaining his health. Let me read to you a narration. Aisha radiallahu anha, she says, خرجت مع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في بعض أسفاره. Once I was in a campaign with the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. وأنا جارية. I was a young girl. ولم أحمل اللحمة ولم أبدن. I was skinny, you know. I didn't have much fat on my body. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, just to engage me in some sort of a physical activity or just to make me happy, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told the people, taqaddamu, you know, advance, go on back home, I'll join you later. So they went on, and thereafter he advanced towards me, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, وَقَالَ لِي ثُمَّ قَالَ لِي, and he told me, تَعَالِي حَتَّى أُسَابِقَك, let me race you. So now you can imagine the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is in his late 40s at this time, or possibly early 50s. And what is he telling Aisha radiallahu anha? Let's race. So the Prophet Aisha radiallahu anha says, فَسَابَقْتُهُ فَسَابَقْتُهُ. I raced with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I beat him in the race. فَسَكَتَ عَنِّي. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he kept quiet. He didn't say much. Till that time came where once again I was in a campaign with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but this time حَمَلْتُ اللَّحْمَ وَبَدَنْتُ وَنَسِيتُ. I gained a bit of weight. I was no more that skinny girl that I was once upon a time. And وَنَسِيتُ, I also forgot the concept of racing, how to run, because of me not paying attention to my physical health, etc. I forgot the concept of racing, how to race, how to, beat another person or advance, go in front of them, etc. Nasit, I forgot the concept of racing. خَرَجْتُ مَعَهُ فِي بَعْضِ أَسْفَارِهِ. Same thing happened. I went in a campaign with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He told the people, تَقَدَّمُوا, go on, go back home, I'll join you later. And once again, he told me, تَعَالِي حَتَّى أُسَابِقَكْ, let me race you, O Aisha. فَسَابَقْتُهُ فَسَبَقَنِي. So this time I raced with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We had a nice race and he beat me. فَجَعَلَ يَضْحَكْ. So he started laughing. He had the bragging rights. So he started laughing. And what did he say? هَذِهِ بِتِلْكْ. This is for that. Tit for tat. This was the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He engaged his family members as well. We read the narration of the individuals, the African individuals who came into the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and they were practicing their traditional form of dancing or archery or whatnot. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam told Aisha radiallahu anha, O Aisha, do you want to look at the people of Africa, this clan, a specific clan, do you want to look at them performing their archery in the courtyard of the masjid? So Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, yes, of course. So Aisha radiallahu anha, what did she do? Because she was not covered, she went behind the shoulder of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was taller than Aisha radiallahu anha. So what did he have to do? He had to do what we call a kursi. He sat down in a chair form. So Aisha radiallahu anha over here, she's testing the love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for her. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is in that uncomfortable form. Imagine staying like this for a long while. So Aisha is now behind the shoulder of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, looking at the African companions performing their traditional archery in the courtyard of the masjid. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, "Are you done?" She says, "No, I'm not done yet." And she kept looking from behind the shoulder of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam till the entire ceremony there was finished. This tells you how strong the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was, even in his 50s. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to maintain our health. We learn from a narration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that once he was passing by a group of young sahaba radiallahu anhum. Today, very seldom you will see, with no offense to some of our elders, not all of them, very seldomly you will see an elderly person engaging with a young person of the community, a child or a youth. Even if it may be at the minimal smiling at them or putting their hand on their head, making a joke with them. This was the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's mentioned, مَرَّ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he passed by عَلَى نَفَرٍ مِّنْ أَسْلَمْ. He passed by a community of youth from the tribe of Aslam, وَهُمْ يَتَنَاضَلُونَ, while they were practicing archery. Now, I want you to pause here for a moment. Imagine an avid soccer player, and imagine Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on one side. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he tells this group of youth, إِرْمُوا بَنِي إِسْمَعِيلِ فَإِنَّ أَبَاكُمْ كَانَ رَامِيًا. What a man, what a man. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. The best example, the best role model you'll find, brothers and sisters, is in the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. What did he say to them? إِرْمُوا بَنِي إِسْمَعِيلِ فَإِنَّ أَبَاكُمْ كَانَ رَامِيًا. Practice archery, become proficient in it, because your father Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam was an archer. Look at this statement of Rasulullah. Not only did he tell them to engage in physical activities, he brought about a balance. What did he say? Practice archery, but don't forget your roots. You come from a great prophet of Allah. Maintain your deen as well. This is the balance that we need to bring about among our youth. How can they be engaged in the deen? And how can they be engaged in maintaining their physical health at the same time? The Prophet did it. You say this is a time of technology, a time of advancement. But I say, brothers and sisters, you may have better gadgets than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam's time, but they were more civilized than us. What did he say? إِرْمُوا بَنِي إِسْمَعِيلِ فَإِنَّ أَبَاكُمْ كَانَ رَامِيًا. Practice archery, because your father Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam was an archer. And then he goes on to say, إِرْمُوا. You might think he just ended at that and he just passed by, went to the masjid, prayed his dhuhr and he went home. No, no, no. He said, إِرْمُوا وَأَنَا مَعَ بَنِي فُلَانِ. Practice your archery and I'm in that team. Oh, the Prophet of Allah, his late 40s, 50s, playing with some children? Unimaginable, right? No, he did that. I'm in that team. What happened thereafter? فَأَمْسَكَ أَحَدُ الْفَرِيقَيْنِ بِأَيْدِيهِمْ. People put their arrows and their bows down. The Prophet ﷺ. Now imagine that soccer player. The team is slacking. He says, "Why aren't you scoring, man? You know, get on your game." What does the Prophet say to them? مَالَكُمْ لَا تَرْمُونَ. Why aren't you playing? Why aren't you practicing your archery? So they said, Ya Rasulallah, anta ma'ahum. One of the group said, Ya Rasulallah, you're in that group. How can we practice archery when we are literally facing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So what did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us embodiments of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What did he say? Irmu wa ana ma'akum jami'an. Practice archery and I am with all you, all of you. I'll join you after halftime. Okay? I am going to play in both teams. This is how he engaged the youth. Not only did he protect their deen, not only did he preserve their deen, but he also advised them to preserve their physical health. You find the famous story, inshallah this will be the last narration that we'll mention. You find the narration of Rukana, the famous wrestler. He was literally the Hulk Hogan of his time. Nobody could take him down. The Prophet ﷺ once approached Rukana and he said, "O Rukana, if I take you down, will you accept Islam?" So Rukana's thinking to himself, "Nobody's taken me down before. You gonna take me down? You're gonna take me down?" So he says, "Yeah, of course," you know, sarcastically. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, may it be taking the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or may it be through his, you know, physiques, may it be through his health, or may it be from the nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his help, he within a blink of an eye, he took Rukana down. Rukana was mind-boggled. He was gobsmacked. He couldn't say anything. He thought this was a dream. He said, no, take me down once again. Prove to me that you actually took me down. I don't believe you took me down. Nobody's taken Rukana down. So the Prophet ﷺ takes Rukana down once again. For a third time, he takes him down. And Rukana says, "Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah." Just as Khabib guided many through his, you know, him taking down that bigot, right? The Prophet ﷺ was also a means of guidance. For whom? Rukana. Through what? His physical strength. We look at Khabib, but we don't know his ancestor, Imam Shamil, rahimahullah. Imam Shamil was an imam. But if you read about Imam Shamil, nobody rode a horse like him. Nobody could jump a wall like him. Nobody ran like him. These were the imams of the past. Shame on me, right? Shame on all of us who don't take care of our physical health, and then we enforce possibly salah or the recitation of Quran upon our family, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also going to judge us about our physical health. So these narrations, brothers and sisters, should be an inspiration for us to maintain our health first and foremost through our diet, and secondly through engaging in some sort of a physical activity. May it be walking in the morning, may it be running or jogging, may it be lifting up those weights. But before we lift up those weights, let's become even stronger and lift up our blankets and come for Salatul Fajr bi-idhnillah in the morning. This is the true strong person bi-idhnillah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us goodness. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive our sins. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from every evil. We ask Allah to preserve our health. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant all of us Jannat al-Firdaus without any reckoning. الحمد لله الواحد المنعم والصلاة والسلام على محمد سيد الأنام وعلى آله وصحبه الكرام وسلم تسليما كثيرا ما دام يجري هذا النظام. أما بعد, respected brothers and elders, what were some of the activities that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam engaged himself in, or possibly advised his companions and the ummah at large to engage themselves in? So there's a narration in Nasa'i, the Sunan of Imam Nasa'i, where the Prophet ﷺ mentions that everything besides the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is games and play, meaning is useless, illa arba'a, except four. Now, the Prophet ﷺ, when he says except these four, anything which falls on the pattern of these four aspects, in terms of maintaining your health, they too would apply as some sort of a virtue. But what is the prophetic advice in which, you know, physical activities you should engage in? So number one, subhanAllah, look at what the Prophet ﷺ is saying. مُلَاعَبَةُ الرَّجُلِ أَهْلَهُ, playing with your wife. How many of us play or engage in, you know, games and play, may it be joking around or anything of that sort with our spouse? This is the first thing, besides the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is valued to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Engaging with your wife in games and play. Number two, Horse riding. This is something that we used to do a lot in South Africa, which unfortunately we don't get a chance to do here. But if you have a chance to do horse riding, then revive the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Third, protecting your community. If there's some sort of a threat prevalent in the community and you stand in the forefront and you protect your community, this is valued in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And finally, learning how to swim. In some narrations, it's mentioned that Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anh was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's swimming partner, but there's really not much of a base to these narrations. But this tells you that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam engaged in swimming as well. So we also need to try to revive these sunnah sports in our lives, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us goodness. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala al-Nabi. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa barik. Wa sallim tasliman kathiran kathira. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تسبوا أصحابي فلو أن أحدكم أنفق مثل أحد ذهبا ما بلغت مد أحدهم ولا نصيفة. وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام المؤمن القوي خير وأحب إلى الله من المؤمن الضعيف. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم انصر من نصر دين محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم من أراد بالإسلام خيرا ففقهه في الدين، ومن أراد بالإسلام شرا فخذه أخذ عزيز مقتدر. اللهم وحد صفوفنا يا رب العالمين. اللهم اجمع قلوبنا يا رب العالمين. اللهم ثبت أقدامنا يا رب العالمين. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. آمين 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 يا رب العالمين. عباد الله رحمكم الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. قوموا إلى الصلاة.